You're listening to Marketplace Weekend. I'm Kimberly Adams in for Lizzie O'Leary. Every so often at Marketplace, we conduct a poll with Edison Research for a snapshot of how people feel about the U.S. economy. You can find the latest results at marketplace.org. One question this round: have you personally ever experienced sexual harassment in the workplace? 27% of women said yes, and so did 14% of men. Men like Paul Burns from San Antonio, Texas. And a warning, this story contains descriptions of sexual assault.
It started with something like really basic. You know, can you just stop by my house and bring me this? I didn't think anything of it because it was like, can you just bring me this box of paperwork? Then it was, why don't you just hang out for a bit? Then it was, I'm really tense in my shoulders. Can you give me a massage? So, I mean, I did it. I just figured, well, she's probably just having a really off day. The next thing after that was dry cleaning. Pick up the dry cleaning and bring it to my house. It got physical. There was intimate contact. She was just the manager. So, I mean, I didn't want to lose my job, so I complied. You know, for a guy who's 18 going on 19 that's moved out and can now afford his own apartment, I was also looking at it as if I lose my job, I'm losing my freedom. Dry cleaning meant that I would be going over that evening. I would be spending the night, leaving early, going home to shower and change, and then going back to work. And she knew that I had to do it. She was management. For someone like me, who was in an entry-level position, you know, they're the ones that can make or break my career. You know, she was the person that basically signed my check, so if I don't make her happy, maybe I don't get paid that week and maybe I get fired. Basically, it came down to the statement that she made was something along the nature of, I'm a successful, attractive woman. Who's really going to believe you? I tried telling HR reps, and when I tried to explain it, it was almost like he was thinking that I was talking about a fantasy that I wanted to have and that it was wishful thinking. The only response, it was like a, you should be so lucky. I mean, she wasn't my girlfriend or a person that I was in a relationship with, or, you know, that I had entertained the idea of being with this woman or anything like that. I mean, she was just my boss. And she had pointed out to me she had been sexually harassed, and you should be so lucky because, you know, when she was sexually harassed, it was an extremely unattractive person. And since she's not, I mean, I should just be dealing with it. I tried telling my girlfriend at the time, I'm being forced to do this. She did not take me seriously, and that relationship ended. I went to management so many times about it, and it just kind of got rebuffed away. I ended up quitting. In my exit interview, I completely told them why. Because when someone can just snap their fingers and make someone do whatever they want, I think at some point they get bored and they just want to keep pushing that envelope further and further to see what they can get away with. And I wasn't going to do that. Then I ended up getting a different job. One of the floor leads made a comment about how many headboards could I break, meaning that stereotypically Irish people have a lot of stamina, and other comments that were sexualizing me in a way that I didn't want. I went to HR, and I think it had to do with my previous experience, because I didn't want to relive something like that again. And this time at a different company, some, you know, 5 years later, I mean, the issue was resolved. I think that there's a lot of social stigmas. I think one, if you're a man and you say that a woman is sexually harassing me, people are going to think that you're either joking, gay, or a moron. Other men have to come forward and say, this happened to me and this bothered me. Because if we don't do that, this social stigma of us is just going to continue on.
That was Paul Burns from San Antonio, Texas. The vast majority of workplace sexual harassment cases are brought by women. But almost 1 in 5, 17%, of all workplace sexual harassment cases filed with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission in 2015 came from men. If that number surprises you, it may have to do with the silence and stigma surrounding men and sexual harassment. Todd Harrison is a partner with a California law firm that handles thousands of employment law cases per year. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So As we said, most cases of workplace sexual harassment do involve female victims. But what is the environment like for men if they want to report being the victim of sexual harassment?
The biggest problem is that men are embarrassed. They have pride that gets in the way. They don't want to complain about it, especially to their male coworkers. So I think it's much more prevalent than probably the statistics would reveal, whether or not they choose to pursue it once they realize the process and what goes into it. That's another story.
What is the difference between what someone might perceive as sexual harassment versus what is legally sexual harassment?
So in California, sexual harassment can be two things. One is quid pro quo, which is sexual favors for advancement, let's say. The other, sexual harassment, has to be severe or pervasive. Severe meaning very bad, pervasive meaning happening all the time. You know, maybe a pat on the butt to most people would be sexual harassment. In California, that's not necessarily sexual harassment. Touching somebody's breast even is not always considered sexual harassment because it's not severe enough or it's not happening on a consistent basis. A lot of times, stray comments are not considered sexual harassment. So if somebody says, you know, you have a nice body or, you know, I'd love to have sex with you, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be sexual harassment. There has to be a pattern.
So if a pat on the butt may not be sexual harassment, how many times does somebody have to pat you on the butt before it actually is?
You know, maybe in certain jurisdictions, a pat on the butt would be severe enough. Here in California, just one single instance like that typically is not going to be. So if it was two times, three times, how many times? There is no magic number. It's just a pattern of behavior.
Is there any data, any evidence out there that helps us understand sort of who is harassing men in the workplace?
Typically, the male is in a subordinate role. A lot of times, the sexual harassment, it doesn't necessarily always mean sex. It becomes something about domination, about demeaning the other person. So when you have a female in a power position and a male as a subordinate, sometimes you're going to have those problems.
Several of the stories that we heard about men being victims of sexual harassment in the sort of immediate aftermath of this first wave of Me Too were about men who'd been sexually harassed by other men. But it seems like from what you're telling me, that's a lot less common than the sort of female supervisor, male worker dynamic.
In almost all, you're always going to see the power difference. Male on male, though, we represent a lot of males where their coworkers are either harassing somebody because of their sexual orientation or they're both gay and they're doing it the same way that male, female, female, male would happen as well.
When men do come forward and they do decide to pursue these cases, are the consequences for them any different than those for women who go through this process?
Well, I certainly think it goes back to embarrassment and pride. I mean, we've represented male clients where they've filed a lawsuit while they're still working there. And once the workforce becomes aware of it, they're teased and ribbed by their male counterparts. You know, who doesn't want a woman flirting with you? Why wouldn't you want to have sex with your boss? That kind of thing.
What steps can companies take to make sure there's an environment where men can feel comfortable coming forward with concerns about sexual harassment?
I think the most important thing is proper training. People need to know that, you know, jokes, innuendos, even stray comments can sometimes be harassing or discriminatory. Second, managers need to know how to handle it. They're supposed to investigate. You know, a lot of employees are under the misguided belief that human resources is their friend. Human resources is there to protect the company. It's critical that you document everything. And you want to fax, email, or certify mail that to the HR department. Because a lot of employers will say, you know, they never complained, therefore we had no obligation to do anything because we didn't know about it.
And how can we as a society address this stigma that men feel like they will be embarrassed or ashamed if they pursue these actions?
The more men that come forward, the easier it will be for other men.
Todd Harrison is the managing partner of the Employment Law Division with California law firm Perona, Langer, Beck, Serban, and Harrison. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.